Oh, excuse me. I guess we're on. I guess we're here.
I guess we are.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, I know.
It's time for another adventure on the Andy and Amanda Show here on this beautiful Wednesday, September 15th, 2021. Here we go again. If you want to join us during the next hour, you can call 515-605-9888. That's how you get on our show and talk about whatever you would like to. And we'd like to hear from you and see what your thoughts are about, you know, the events of the day, you know, and what you're doing on this beautiful day.
Absolutely. I want to know. We want to know. Come on.
Please. We also want to know about the details of your relationship.
Yeah.
With your significant other. Mm-hmm. We really do.
Our listeners are doing great today. And,
I hope so.
They've had a good week so far. Yeah. And I'm grateful for them joining us and our mad banter.
Hey, how are you feeling, by the way? I know you were a little under the weather on, what day was that? Monday.
Yeah, I'm not over it yet. I'm still not over the hill just yet. You know, I'm a bit stuffy still and coughing a lot. But gotta get on with things, right? You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we have over 1,000 shows on podcast distribution right now. We've been doing this show for, I think, next month will be a year and a half with, I think, over 300 distributed shows since we started Coast to Coast. Yeah, this is the Andy and Amanda Show, and it's really pretty cool to...
It's not like they're, you know, just starting.
You know, I have those moments, though, where it actually does feel like we're just starting. You know, I guess it's... You always wonder if you're doing a good job and that people are feeling entertained or engaged and just having a good time. And so you get those little moments of insecurity and you think, do people really enjoy what I'm saying or is this all crap?
You know, I think we're having a positive impact on whoever dares to listen to us. You know what I mean?
It grew great with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Aw, thank you, Trump.
Yeah, we want to thank all of our, you know, we have these guests that join our show that are kind of listening and chiming in, some living, some not so fortunate to be, but they join our show anyway. we don't know quite how that works, but they're...
So how's things with you, Mr. Kimball? All well on the other side of the pond?
Well, over here in California, things are doing great. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood once more time, and enjoying the environment here. Oh, speaking of a beautiful day in the neighborhood, yesterday was a different day because the attempted Republican recall.
Oh, okay.
trying to get Gavin Newsom out of office because really forced businesses to close down. I mean, this is the impetus, I think, forced businesses to close and forced people to wear masks and to protect the citizens of the state of California from dying. Of course, many, many did, but many, many more would have if people were allowed to walk around without masks.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it's my connection or...
am I not on anymore?
No, you are. It's just breaking up where it went dead silent. I could hear you. Well, I could tell you were still talking when it cut back in. But
let me
is everything okay, Yoren? Can you hear me okay, Yoren?
I hate when that happens. You know,
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, this internet thing has gotten crazy. But what I was saying is that Gavin Newsom handily won his bid. Remain in office because Republicans tried to force him out via a recall election, which was unsuccessful. And Larry Elder, who's a kind of a very conservative, to say the least, talk show host on a syndicated show, anti-vax, just totally, I can go on and on and on, but there's no reason to talk about him on the show in terms of what he is for, and he just for California, I think any state actually. But he was the leading Republican replacement, should have Gavin Newsom lost the recall, and there was no chance in hell that he was going to win. He didn't have much of doing this thing.
Right.
And Gavin Newsom won, and there are no if, ands, or buts. You know what I mean?
But, none.
No, that's right. There are no.
I'm looking. I can't see.
Knock it off.
Sorry. Okay, relax.
No.
Breathe.
No.
Dude.
Really, you know, relax, right?
Yeah. Take a chill, girl. It's okay.
You know, Elder's out there campaigning. I don't know if you've ever heard of any Larry Elder's, you know, commitments and what he had to say during his campaign speeches. We have fortune enough here at the something here that he said in a recent campaign stop in Orange County.
8% of Americans believe Elvis is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. That was the premise of his campaign.
One day. Yeah.
He campaigned on Elvis still being alive.
There's a lot of people who believe Elvis is still alive. And do you remember when those people thought
Knock
that
it off.
Hartley was dead? Oh, yes. Wow.
Anyway, but that's the big news here. Actually, it's not big news because we didn't talk about it much on this show. We mentioned it a couple of times because there's no way it was going to happen. And you know, we're here in L.A. on this side of the Andy and Amanda show, and Amanda Love, of course, is in the U.K. And for those of you who are just joining the show, we welcome you aboard. And for those of you who don't know who we are, we don't either.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually.
we're still kind of figuring that out here, but we're getting there. we're getting there.
Oh, guys, we love you for listening.
We do.
Really do.
Who am I? Why am I here?
Well, I've asked that question many a time in many situations.
Yes, but Amanda and I have actually never met, and here we are, you know, with over 1,000 people have downloaded our show on the podcast of the show.
I know, that's wonderful, but that's only on Podbean, right? Because we're on the previous platforms, we have downloads as well. So
yeah, another platform. Yeah, we're actually significantly higher than that, but that's just on one podcast distribution channel, and I've. You know, our numbers, I think, are a lot higher than that, actually, which is kind of cool. You know, here we are having a lot of people do podcasts. You know, podcasts is when you go into a studio or whatever, or you know, at home or on your phone. I don't know how they do it, to tell you the truth. And they, you know, usually it's a broadcast about a subject or about, you know, somebody's expertise, their field, their business. And sometimes they'll have guests on related to their business, and they make a podcast and they distribute it. And, you know, some are very, very successful. There's many of them. Hundreds of thousands of them now. And what we have here, folks, because I know a lot of you do listen to the podcast, is actually a live radio show. We're talking live right now, where somebody can actually join our conversation by dialing 515-605-9888 and join our program. And then what happens later on is the show goes through some processing and then goes out for podcast distribution. And people download our show. Of course, you can't call in on a podcast, you know, but they do hear the show. And a lot of people are downloading our program. And we really thank you. And you're listening to this right now. Of course, again, we're talking live right now, and somebody can join the conversation. But we're pleased that you are have been a fan of the Andy and Amanda show and like what we're doing, hopefully. And we'll continue to do so and pass the word. Visit our website at andyandamandashow.com. Visit us on Instamatic at what's it called?
Instamatic. That takes me back to Greece. I love that movie.
You know,
dramatic.
What's that? Telegram. Join us on Telegram at
Instagram.
Instagram. Thank you.
Telegram is a completely different thing, sweetie. yes. Bless him.
The God, I'm trying to think. What was I? Our Instagram. I'm getting it straight here. Our Instagram account what is our Instagram? We should let everybody know how to contact us. That's why I hear everybody like boasting their social media, like getting out there and visit me on Facebook and hit me on this and hit me, and some go on and on and on about it. But I'm not that familiar with all that stuff, so that but I think it's cool if people do visit us on the various
platforms, social media.
Platforms.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what are they?
Okay, so our Instagram is at the Andy and Amanda Show. Our Facebook page is exactly the same. And our Twitter is at Andy and Amanda 2. I don't know why, but it is. And, you can find us on all the major
Andy Amanda
podcasts.
Number 2, right? Number 2, is that right?
Number 2, yes. Thank you for explaining that. Yeah, because I should have been more specific with that one. But mm-hmm. You can find us on those platforms, and we're always up and posting things and pictures of what we get up to in our day-to-day life and, little promotional things and bits about the news and stuff. So we try to keep it entertaining as much as possible, and it's a good place to keep up with us and our craziness that we have going on with the show and ourselves. And, Instagram's really the place to be for social media these days. I mean, people are all over Facebook anyway, but Instagram seems to be booming in terms of following people and what they get up to.
It
and,
is.
Cornell's
been telling me that the numbers are really impressive on that platform.
Yes, very much so.
And if you go to the AndyAmanda.com website, you can get all the archives and listen to us live as well. All these links are on there, and see what we look like. I don't know if you want to do that. And hear what we're talking about. You can hear what we've been talking about all these episodes.
I don't know anything about what you're even talking about.
Yeah, I know you don't. That's obvious. Yeah. That's why you lost the last election, dude. Anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot to mention about the website. My bad. Yeah.
That's right.
Lost in our social media. Yeah.
Everybody, people are like, it's great that we have a fan base out there.
Republicans
really
love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Thank you. Anyway, so what's going on? Enough about self-promotion here. Let's move on with the news as what's going on. We talked about California here and Larry Elder losing his the Republicans losing their bid to recall Gavin Newsom. Ain't going to happen. Was never going to happen. I don't think there's an angel's chance in hell of a Republican being elected governor in California anytime soon, based on what they've done, where they've come from, what their platform is, or lack thereof. And if you disagree with anything we're saying on the show, again, please call us. We love to have a conversation with you. We're not like totally blind to other opinions and ideas, and we love to have conversations and exchange ideas. And that's how you grow, and that's how you, you know. So please don't be a stranger. 515-605-9888. Sometimes we get callers, a lot of times we don't. We're on Block Talk Radio. It does not have a great big listenership as a platform. We know that, and that's why our podcasts are so. Our numbers there are so much greater than our live show because really no one knows we're here, really. And one day we hope folks to be able to take this show to a Sirius XM or to a syndicated radio channel where we can talk to an audience over more of a terrestrial radio or satellite radio. And that's our plan, and that's what we're going to do. Stand by for details on that coming, which will happen, I'm sure, sometime in the not too distant future. But anyway.
Absolutely.
So... anyway, I'm sorry, Amanda. I was just asking you about the news in the BBC, and then I changed my mind. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I'm used to that.
No respect.
Truth be known, Andy. Truth be known.
No respect. You know what I mean? None. You know, no respect.
These people are sick.
Yeah.
Yes, we are, in a good way. Actually, I really am right now. So talking about social media, I thought that was a good thing to jump on straight away. So in our news, we've got something that says Facebook under fire over secret teen research. It looks a bit dodgy, actually. Facebook-owned Instagram has been criticized for keeping secret its internal research into the effect social media had on teenage users. According to the Wall Street Journal, its studies showed teenagers blamed Instagram for increased levels of anxiety and depression. Campaign groups and MPs have said it's proof the company puts profit first. Instagram said, Research showed its commitment to understanding complex and difficult issues. The Wall Street Journal's report, not disputed by Facebook, finds a 2019 presentation slide said, "We make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teenage girls." Another slide said teenagers blamed Instagram for increased levels of anxiety and depression. In 2020, research found 32% of teenage girls surveyed said when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse. I can understand some of this. Some 13% of UK teenagers and 6% of US users surveyed traced a desire to kill themselves to Instagram. Oh my God, that's disgusting. Instagram conducted multiple focus groups, online surveys, and diary studies over a number of years. In 2021, it conducted large-scale research of tens of thousands of people that paired user responses with its own data about time spent on Instagram and what was viewed. The WSJ story focused on a limited set of findings and cast them in a negative light, it said, but the issue was far more complex. We've done extensive work around bullying, suicide, and self-injury and eating disorders to help make Instagram a safe and supportive place for everyone, the company said in its post. Based on our research and feedback from experts, we've developed features so people can protect themselves from bullying. We've given everyone the option to hide like counts, and we've continued to connect people who may be struggling with local support organizations. It was working on prompts to encourage people repeatedly dwelling on negative subjects to look at different topics, it said. So, you know, they're claiming that it's profit before harm. You know, they're really putting them under the microscope about this, but in all fairness to Instagram, you know, Facebook, the company that owns them, obviously, I have noticed these changes they've implemented to try and reduce the popularity bullying that happens on posts. I don't know if you use Instagram much, Andy, but when you go on there, you can see the total likes that you've had on any one post, and of course you've got people and friends who may be more popular with their posts, especially with teenagers. You know, they're always trying to feel part of everything, to feel included and more secure in themselves, and by posting pictures of themselves and doing things and whatever, you know, they look at those likes and their self-esteem is either boosted or torn apart by how many likes they get, and then they judge themselves on it, that they're not worthy enough, that people don't like them enough. And so I understand where all this argument is coming from. So with Instagram, you know, making those changes, I think that's actually a wise thing. But then I should imagine their friends looking at them and saying, okay, so you've got that like thingy turned on. What are you trying to hide? You're not getting enough likes. So again, that can instigate even more bullying in one sense, you know, because they know about these features. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of areas and ways to look at this. And I just think that social media is such a crazy breeding ground for so much insecurity and self-harm. And, you know, it's a crazy place. I mean, when I first started off on social media all those years ago, I started off on MySpace, because back then I was like starting off with music and I wanted to find something that was, I was able to reach people and, you know, put my work out there. So I went on MySpace. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing I found. And my journey started there. So I've been on social media for over 20 years. And so for me, I've had the real highs and lows of discovering who I am, the way it's made me feel. You know, as I've been learning about myself, forget being a teenager. My goodness, I'm glad I didn't have this as a teenager, because I think it would have set even more insecurity in me about how I should look, how I should speak and act, because people are getting more likes and views. Because this person's a certain way, and you try and live up to the image of being like somebody else when you should be original, you should be yourself, and it's that's not promoted enough in any way in this world, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got companies out there now, like big brands trying to get, like, big labels and stuff trying to promote, you know, being unique and backing yourself up and all that kind of stuff, and they're rooting for it, but at the end of the day, they're selling a product to you as well. But there's not enough other support out there for I think for teenagers to try and help them feel more secure in themselves, and trying to teach them about how social media can ultimately affect their insecurities, their mindset. Something needs to be done to tackle these things. People need to go into schools and offer advice and, you know, these like, not consultations exactly, but, you know, like somebody, a speaker going in and touring the schools and saying, you know, let me teach you about social media, how it can affect the mind, how it can affect you, blah, blah, blah. I think something more needs to be done in today's world that we're facing, because we're opened up to so many more things that can harm us and confuse us. We only have to look at politics, don't we, Andy, when it comes to that? You know, our previous discussions about the elections and everything, you know, how that's been manipulated. And
So we've had it so many times.
Again, I think this is a subject I'd love to touch on in the future about how we can reach younger people with all of this. So some other things going on. They're reporting about the North and South Korea test ballistic missiles hours apart. North and South Korea have tested ballistic missiles hours apart from each other, highlighting an arms race on the Venezuela as nuclear talks with the North remain stalled. So the North fired two...
That's such a crazy... You know, so they test a ballistic missile, which has meant they're testing something that can kill other people.
Yes.
So what... Oh, my God. What a crazy world we live in.
Mm-mm-mm. I know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. But I want to hear more about that. I heard that briefly from the news. I didn't really follow up on it, but do tell.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this.
Okay, sweetie. So the North fired two ballistic missiles across its east coast, its first test with such missiles in 6 months, and a fresh breach of UN resolutions. The test came as South Korea and China discussed the North's nuclear issue. Hours later, the South tested its first submarine-launched ballistic missile. The test of the missile, known as SLBM, was pre-planned and not in reaction to the North's latest launches. It makes South Korea the seventh country in the world with such technology. President... Oh, here we go. This is going to be the fun part now. President Moon Jae-in... Did I pronounce that right? Who attended the test, Jae-in, said... excuse me, my chest. South Korea now has sufficient deterrence to respond to North Korea's provocative...
Okay, let's try that again.
Let's try it again, sir. I'm so sorry, audience. Bear with me. Mm-hmm. Getting tongue-tied. So, sufficient deterrence to respond to North Korea's provocation.
You can do it.
There we go. We got there in the end.
You got it. Yeah.
At any time, urging the South to continue increasing its weapons programs to overwhelm North Korea's asymmetric power. The comments were criticized by Kim Yo-jong. I think that's how you pronounce it, sister of North Korean leader, who described them as illogical and regrettable, warning that they could lead to a breakdown in ties, state news agency KCNA reported. In North Korea's test, the short-range missiles flew around 800 kilometers, which is 500 miles, and a maximum altitude of 60 kilometers, South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said. They were launched from central inland areas of the country and flew east towards the Sea of Japan, also known as the East Sea. South Korea and the U.S. were conducting analysis to determine which type of missile was used. The Japanese defense minister said the missiles had landed inside Japan's exclusive economic zone. UN resolutions banned North Korea from carrying out tests with ballistic missiles, which can carry either nuclear or conventional warheads in efforts to curb the country's nuclear program. It's extraordinary timing that you have not one, but two Koreas testing ballistic missiles on the same day, Professor
Jonathan. I've never
Jonathan
heard of that before. I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think it ever has.
Exactly.
Happened. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It does speak to the fact that there's an arms race in this region. The recent launches show North Korea has continued to develop its weapons despite a severe economic crisis. This goes on and on and on, but
you know, when you think about it, let's talk about it for a minute. When you think about it, so you have North Korea and South Korea. Of course, South Korea is back. We have troops there, and we fund, and we have weapons there, and so forth. So there they are, testing weapons that can really destroy and sink the entire Korean Peninsula. I mean, together, you know. So they fire at each other. They kill everybody. The continent is gone. The, you know, the whole North and South Korea are gone. And then what? I mean, this is just think about it. I mean, you know, there's so many things that we should be thinking about pursuing a change as a population. We've of course, a lot of people don't like to hear this, but climate is imperative that we address. You know, for future generations, it's there is no climate change. Yeah, there is. The ocean levels are rising. The Antarctic ice is melting. I mean, there's so much science. If you don't want to believe the science, then maybe you don't believe that man actually landed on the moon either. Maybe you don't believe that either. But anyway, you know, and there are those that think that was staged, by the way. But
many people.
I was just going to say, I'm trying to think.
I know you're not thinking. You never do.
No, I am thinking.
Oh, Trent, come on, man.
God, you know, no respect, you know? No,
I know.
Korea. So there was a resolution that said, you know, North Korea will not test weapons, nuclear weapons, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right? That's the article that you were just referring to. Stated. Interestingly enough, I remember having an argument a long time ago, when we invaded Iraq, and you know what, billions of dollars, and then of course the economy crashed, billions of dollars a month, no weapons of mass destruction found, and I remember having an argument with somebody who said, well, the UN resolution, they violated the UN resolution. That's why we're going there, because UN, they violated it, and we're going to go enforce it. Well, why aren't we going to North Korea?
Yeah.
They violated one, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
If Iraq had nuclear weapons, do you think we would have gone there?
Mm-mm. No.
And they didn't have any, you know, and the weapons of mass destruction they were referring to were gas, which are horrific as well. But and they were not there, and there was no evidence that they were. You know, at the time we went in, and you know, and also, you know, when you think about us going to Iraq, and I'm rehashing very old news, I know, but do you think that if Saddam Hussein had stayed in power, ISIS would have ever formed? Do you think he would allow them to form? No way. It would have never happened. There we go. You know, there we go, spending $8 billion with a B dollars a month, invading a country, overthrowing a government, trying to instill our government, which it didn't work. It never would work. It's impossible to have it work. The funds, and people say, the stock crash and real estate transactions and, you know, lending money to anybody who had a pulse, they can buy a house, and all this is what sent the market to frenzy. But what really happened is we go into $8 billion a month in funding a war, which have never been, and where's somebody's got to pay for that. You know, the money, it's got to be paid for. And who pays for it? The taxpayers. There's no money. Boom, the economy crashes. And so many businesses, including my own at the time, and I was okay, but so many businesses were not okay at the time. And, you know, it's obviously 2008, 2009, 2010. I mean, this economy here was a wreck. It was a wreck. It was the most severe since the Depression, maybe equivalent thereof, given the ratio of the economic times. I don't know. But anyway, here we are, and we're having, you know, countries are testing nuclear ballistic weapons, which are designed to kill people. And that's what we do as a human race. As a race, we're all the same race. I don't care what your religion is, what your ethnicity is, what color your skin is, what your political ideologies are. It doesn't matter. We are all the same species. And wouldn't it be wonderful? I know I'm being very idealistic, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all could come together and respect each other's values and ideas and opinions and religions and so forth, and just and concentrate on improving the world for all of humanity? Wouldn't that be just amazing?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
In my campaign,
I get it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I should announce my candidacy for president on the show sometime.
Thank you. I support
you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
I can't pay for you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
On your behalf.
And we could get this job done. We just what I'm saying, we could change the world.
We got it done in less than 9 months.
You're right, less than 9 months.
But any more news on this Texas thing?
On the Texas? Yeah, yeah, well.
With the abortion thing.
Well, right now I know that there's all sorts of legal challenges happening. The Department of Justice is suing that too. They're suing big time, but they're suing. they're, they are Department of Justice.
We're going to do very well. We've done a great job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah,
right.
They're doing they're suing the state of Texas over the recent abortion ruling there that went into effect, which is just so horrific. It's so, you know, so abortion is legal up to 6 weeks in Texas, but so you usually don't know you're pregnant for the first 6 weeks.
No.
But quite often I'm going to say again, quite often, it doesn't mean you never do. Cause I knew,
well, this
I
is
knew.
True.
Yeah,
I was in that early.
Yeah, now
yeah.
I was in that, as you know, in my earlier days, I worked at Planned Parenthood and I saw all sorts of ranges and stats and figures and statistics and worked with patients and so forth. And as a teen peer, so anyway, I'm not going to harp on that, but really. For all intent and purposes, 6 weeks is you know, they're saying, well, it's the same thing as saying abortion is illegal in the state of Texas and you have to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is the Department of Justice lawsuit is predicated upon the ability for any citizen to sue
mm-hmm.
anybody for the sum of $10,000 who is suspected of helping anybody transport anybody for the purposes of getting an abortion or seeking that.
Yeah.
And so any citizen could sue, like it's like the back to Wild Frontier, like posses.
Yeah.
We can go out and get anybody. You know, we're all going to be deputies now. Anybody could sue anybody for up to $10,000. I mean,
wow.
Jesus Christ. It just lands. I mean, sometimes it lands. You know, I know about it. You read about it. Blah, 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 but then sometimes it actually lands as to what Texas just did. You know, next thing you know, they're gonna be burning suspected witches at the cross. It's un-fucking believable, unreal.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody living in Texas, I want you to get hold of the show, Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com.
We'd
love to have you on as a guest. We want to talk to you about what's going on down there. What is your opinion? What do you think of things? If you are, pro or con in terms of what's going on in Texas, and it doesn't stop there. You know, voting rights, women's rights. Texas is just going back to Wild Frontier days, or even, you know, I don't even know where they're going, but it just don't seem in alignment with the bulk of the population of the United States of America in terms of the thinking and where they're headed.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's a federal law, as we said the very last show, is you know, Roe v. Wade, 1972, abortion became legal in the United States, whether you like it or not, and your energy should be spend on preventing unwanted pregnancies, not talking about abortion anyway. But it's federal. The Supreme Court said, there's no basis for it not to be for a woman deciding what she wants to do in that relationship, or the couple, the clergy, whoever's involved in that decision. It's up to them, not up to the United States government. But then again, they want the United States government to get involved in, get them out of our pockets, get them out of our lives, get them out of, you know, since Reagan days, government is the problem. Oh, but the government's allowed in our bedroom, though. They're allowed right there.
How far do you want to go with this? Yeah. How far do you want to go with this pro-life thing? I mean, all right, we're killing ourselves on a daily basis, like with obesity and things like that, you know, diabetes. So are the government now going to bring in a rule where you can't go into a store and buy, fast food and candy and stuff over a certain amount, you know, because you're going to go home and make yourself fat and ultimately end up killing yourself? Is that going to be the extreme that we're going to move to? I mean, I know that sounds like a pathetic thing to say, but I mean, this is like, you know, the start of manipulating how much control we have over ourselves.
Yeah.
Because this is a personal choice for somebody. You should be allowed to make that personal choice. Women have been having babies for hundreds of thousands of years, and now our government is saying, oh no, well, we're going to take control of the fact that you can't take away that unborn baby's life. And please, I'm not trying to anger anybody, I'm just trying to say that, you know, we have a right over what we do with our bodies and the child we're carrying. It's our moral decision. We have to live with the decision, the guilt, whatever else that we carry. We have to make that decision, and we have to bear the weight of that decision. It shouldn't be just immediately taken away from us by a government that says, well, we're not going to allow you to have that decision. You've got to live with our decision, and that's the final straw, you know? That's it. That's the final
Listen,
thing.
This is the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's disgusting, Andy. It just really angers me all the time. You know,
me too.
But I have to ask about it because I'm so intrigued as to how this is moving forward. This is such an important thing. And I'm like you said, I would love for any of our listeners, even if you know somebody who lives in Texas, ask them, call them up, text them, say, hey, you know, the Andy and Amanda Show wants somebody to come on with their own personal opinion, maybe their own experience about having to, you know, having to choose to end that little life for whatever reason, you know, whatever it is, however you feel about it, you know, call us up, email us. At the Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com. I think it's not the, is it? It's just Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, do these things. Contact us. We would love to hear you on the show. You won't be targeted. You won't be mocked. You know, we're here to listen and discuss with you. Your thoughts and feelings are important to us. And don't feel
And just remember, you can only be hung up on once.
Yes. But with us, a million times, if not more. So feel free to hang up on us.
You know, I think, you know, I think, you know, and also I think we're having, you know, kind of we've had the sex shows here before. I mean.
Pardon?
I mean,
excuse me?
Excuse me, I came out the wrong way. I mean, shows on.
Excuse me while I cough. 1 second.
Excuse me. What I meant was.
I had to mute the mic for that one.
I'm always trying to pedal backward in the show. What I meant was shows on sex and relationships, not sex shows. Oh my gosh.
To me, it's the most exciting thing you can talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we're due for another one of those. I think what I might also want to do is see if we can get somebody, which we should be able to do, actually. We should get the Cornell on this and get somebody from Planned Parenthood to come onto our show. And,
that's a good idea.
Because a lot of people, just hang around the subject, hoovering around the subject just for another minute or two. A lot of people look at Planned Parenthood as an organization which they're there to perform abortions and terminate pregnancies. When that is so false, it's not what they do. And the amount of abortions that some other clinics do, not all of them do, but the ones that do, are minuscule compared to the overall health services that they provide women. And also, their name. Now, I want to think about this real carefully. Their name is Planned Parenthood. Meaning, do I have to define this for our audience? I'm hoping I don't, but I will anyway. For some, I know I do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That means they're there to assist with family planning. And that means providing birth control. That means providing health care for women and men. Vasectomies for men as well. And counseling accordingly, and general and pap smears and can't and other screenings for health issues. It's a family planning organization. Abortions is a minor part of what they do, but they do provide that as legal in the United States. They do provide it for those who choose to have that, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. It's hard to even talk about it now as a parent and so forth. I'm like, you have a right, you have a choice to make, and put my opinion out of it. It's your choice, madam, and her boyfriend or husband and father and mother and clergy and whoever else might be close to them in their life. That is for them to decide, not for the United States government to decide. And Planned Parenthood is there to provide counseling and advice. Either way, you know, Planned Parenthood has guided thousands of women who wanted to keep the pregnancy, whether it was wanted or not, into what to do with that baby after it's born if you didn't want to be a parent. And they do that as well. That's part of what they do. And so many think of Planned Parenthood as this organization that they do abortions, eliminate them, they should be taken off, we shouldn't have government funding. We're talking about a massive amount of services that they provide, diverse services. for family planning and women's health care. And as I said, vasectomies for men, you know, or counseling,
absolutely,
referrals, blah, 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 right? Birth control, condoms. You go there and get free condoms. That'll prevent a pregnancy, folks, guys. Go to Planned Parenthood, pick up some condoms if you think you might be sexually active, or if you are, or have your significant other go to Planned Parenthood. If you're young and you can't talk to your parents about it, they're there for that too, because they will provide confidential birth control counseling, whether you are diaphragm or IUD, IUD or birth control pill or whatever it might be. If somebody suspects they had sex and they might have gotten pregnant, they'll refer you to a morning after pill, bam, you know, before anything really happens, you know, done. And you can, and what a phenomenal organization, and it just, it breaks my heart to see anti-Planned Parenthood activity in this country and suppose around the world to an extent, or part of the world anyway. People know about it, and they because they, it's abortions is not what their businesses do, folks. It's not what they do, and I hope you hear and take my words to heed. You know, heed my words here, because it's true. And what I'd like to do maybe is see if we can get a member of Planned Parenthood to come join our show and talk about it in a more in-depth manner than what I can do here. So we'll look
absolutely
to doing it. We'll look forward to doing that. We'll look forward to doing that.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, there's also a lot going around on social media attacking the opposite sex as well, because this has brought up so many issues regarding that as well. You know, there's a picture that's circulating social media that describes how men can sleep with over 2,000 women in a year, and, you know, make those women pregnant, and a woman can only sleep with a man once, get pregnant, carry that baby for 9 months. No matter how many men she sleeps with, she can't, you know, get pregnant more than once within that 9 month period. So, you know,
hold a second. How many women can a guy sleep with in a year?
I'm sure more than 2,000.
Wait. I heard that. That kind of, wait, I want to hear that again. What? 2,000?
Yeah, it says something along the lines of a man can impregnate like over 2,000 women or something within a year or something like that. Obviously, I'm sure a man can sleep with many more than that if he wants
A big one.
Yes, well, that's debatable, but. So, you know, the woman can only get pregnant once, and no matter how many men she sleeps with. So there's an attack on men having, you know, the situation looked at, where the responsibility that men should be taking upon themselves should be larger than the women. And I think it's an equal thing. Women and men have to be both very wise and savvy to this. You know, it's equal responsibility. However, women are seen to... or should be providing, you know, be on the pill to stop herself getting pregnant, you know, wear a diaphragm, and a man, you know, just wear a condom. But at the end of the day, the responsibility is still seen more of the woman than the man, because, for many reasons, and, you know, she should be taking the pill. That'd make my life easier, you know, then we wouldn't be getting pregnant. It's like, well, hello. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. And sometimes guys don't even, you know, guys just are, you know, just, you know, there's some horny guys out there.
Well, I'm a big fan.
I'm sure you are.
Yes. But, thank you, Mr. Trump, as always.
Anyway, thank you. It was great having you as guests on our show. Anyway, I mean, I've met, you know, I am a conservative guy here for the most part, and have a lot of long term. I got married late in life, but I've had, you know, many relationships beforehand. But I would say majority of them were longer term. I've lived with several girls, never getting married, dated several girls for a while. I'm not at the same time. Well, maybe sometimes I do. No. Anyway. Well, we could talk. Yeah. Sometime we'll talk. I got some stories I could tell you. Anyway.
Okay. I look forward to that.
There's nothing like, you know, having, you know, somebody's at your house and the doorbell.
I have been expecting you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite some wine.
Oh God. No, but it's just, I hear some stories, you know, about guys who have slept just like, man, with tons of women. And I'm like,
you guys,
you know,
are not serious.
Yeah, we are. Truly, you know? I just can't see how you do it. I don't know. That's a whole other subject.
I know, and it's seen as a real normal thing as well. They joke about it. Oh, you know, guys want to sow their wild oats. It's like, well, hello. Hang on a minute. That's so irresponsible. I mean, yeah, all right. Sex is fun. We know that. It feels good. It's great. You want to sleep with people. I get it. I know. I know. I'm human just like everybody else. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just the irresponsibility about this thing. It's just, it's promoted way too much and it's not taken seriously. And ultimately, it ends up leading to things like this. You know, I mean, the pill is a hormone-altering medication. We're altering our bodies just so we don't get pregnant, just so we can have that moment of fun and pleasure and connect with our partners. So we're altering our own bodies just for that. Yeah.
That's unreal. You know, it's funny. I'm thinking back a few decades, obviously, a few decades. But I'm thinking back about how many girls I literally slept with, not had sex with, but slept in the same bed with, and didn't do anything. And with the anticipation, I think, more from the women that, you know, they're sleeping in my bed, whatever, something's going to happen. And I'd be like, you know, have that what they call a sexual speed bump right between us. You know, you have that, those bolsters, you know, those cushions right between.
Yeah, of course. Like that sexual speed bump.
Yeah. But, because, you know, back in the early days, you know, you go back to Ireland and Scotland way back when, and it wasn't uncommon for men and women to sleep together in the same bed for warmth and so forth without having sex. It wasn't, you know, it was not that uncommon, truly. That's absolutely true. And, you know, that's probably where you got that, you know, the concept of the sexual speed bump from.
Okay. I believe you.
But maybe, I don't know, to me it was just, I guess maybe I'm just not normal, I don't know. Oh well, story of my life.
Oh, no. Who wants to be normal, Andy? Normal is boring. I mean, what is normal? Yeah, what is normal? There is no such thing.
That's true.
It's bull crap. It's bull crap. Yes, it is. Yes.
But, you know, you'd be laying there in bed thinking...
she is not the one.
And so... that would just,
that's,
you know,
not a nice feeling.
You're welcome to sleep over unless, you know, we're friends and all this stuff. And, you know, it doesn't mean we have to have sex, you know, just...
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. I tell that to my wife all the time. No, excuse me. No.
Oh, bless her. Wife.
You know, I'll tell you. Yeah.
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
No, I know. Well, you're looking cheap. Anyway. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, I have some coffee here. All right.
That's okay. I just had a sip of water to keep my my throat moist.
Yes, hits the spot. It's my second or third cup of the day. I
gotta stay hydrated, Gotta stay hydrated.
It's, oh, God, again, there I go. I was going to say something. I don't remember. Excuse me, folks, because sometimes I get a bunch of things in my mind at the same time, and I'm not sure which one I'm going to say first, and then I don't say any of them. Anyway.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
This is the Andy Jander Show. We're unscripted. We're raw. We don't know what Amanda and I have we don't talk to each other. No, what I mean.
We don't really dislike each other.
What the hell are we doing here? I don't know. But we don't get together and like, okay, let's plan the agenda for the show. You know, like an hour before, you won't get together and say, okay, let's plan today's show. Let's talk about this. This has happened. Maybe we should address this. We have no, I mean, we know we're going to talk about whatever the news is and, you know, whatever the headlines are, we provide our commentary sometimes, not all the times. And we talk about social issues like we've been doing today. And we talk about what's going on in the world, our lives. We talk about relationships and entertainment and films. We've had many guests in all subjects, sports, you know, the stock market, of course. The AMC squeeze is a big fave of ours. But we don't go into a show knowing that what we're going to cover in that show. And sometimes we, you know, I've got audio clips of things that people said in the news that I want to play during a specific show, and the show never goes there, so the audio clips never get played. And if I say, well, I'll just play it next week, well, they won't be relevant anymore. So it's kind of a cool way to do a show, because most shows, I think, are, you know, they have some kind of agenda, what they're going to do. And we had agendas. I mean, it's not like, you know, we know we have a guest, we're going to talk about this and that. But so there are a few exceptions here and there. But aside from those exceptions, and that's all, again, I can't emphasize enough, if not today, it doesn't look like today, but moving ahead, we invite you, anybody, we're in 22 countries around the world. You can join the show by emailing us, andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to join the show. We'll send you an internet invitation, which means you just need a headset and a mic, and you can join us that way. Or to call in at 515-605-9888. Monday, these are Eastern Daylight Times. Monday, we're on at noon. And Wednesday and Friday, we're on at 3 p.m. And, of course, whatever time zone that is around your world, you can figure that out. Just knowing what time it is in New York, you know what time it is where you are. So, again, Mondays, we're on at noon. Wednesdays and Fridays, we're on at 3 p.m. New York time. Now, nobody's in New York, but that's just, Eastern time tends to be, I guess, are you universal time there in the UK? Are you the same as universal time as Greenwich Mean Time, Amanda, where you are?
Yes, darling. Yeah.
So probably because we are in 22 countries, universal time, Monday, we're on at 5 p.m. Wednesday and Friday, we're on at 8 p.m. Maybe that's easier.
Yeah.
That's universal time. Monday at 5. And that means you can join the show. If you want to dial internationally, dial 1-515-605-9888. Mondays at 5, that's our 5 o'clock summer show where we get nice and drunk and have margaritas and everything on Mondays. And Wednesdays and Fridays, 8 p.m. Universal time. Okay, so wherever you are in the world, universal time. So no excuse for you not to join us. I really want to encourage getting our callers up. And we know we have a lot of listeners, and they don't, they're listening. I hope, they have a good – what are you doing up? What are you doing right now, folks? I want to, I want to know.
Yeah, we want to know.
What are you, because, this is.
Don't get the idea it was mere entertainment.
Because it ain't, you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, and as we're musicians, you and I, my darling, I came across, the artist Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, of course.
You heard of her?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love her work. She's just a legend. Mm-hmm. So, it says that she has distanced herself from what she describes as a salacious new film in which she appears to address being sexually exploited by 5 men when she was 15. The singer said she agreed to take part in a HBO film celebrating 25 years of her classic album, Jagged Little Pill, which is epic, I may add. However, the film, which also addresses the alleged incidents, is not the story she agreed to tell. And the director of Jagged has not yet responded to the singer's comments. In her statement, Morissette noted she had been dealing with postnatal depression at the time, and she agreed to participate in a piece about the celebration of Jagged Little Pill's 25th anniversary and was interviewed during a very vulnerable time while in the midst of her third postpartum depression during lockdown. The 47-year-old said in a statement, "I was lulled into a false sense of security and their salacious agenda became apparent immediately upon seeing the first cut of the film. This is when I knew our visions were, in fact, painfully diverged. This was not the story I agreed to tell," she continued. "I sit here now experiencing the full impact of having trusted someone who did not warrant being trusted." Ooh, she's not good. The Canadian star went on to confirm she has not chosen to attend any event around the movie, firstly because she is currently on tour, and secondly, as she believes the film includes implications and facts that are simply not true. While there is beauty and some elements of accuracy in this story. One second, my throat. Oh, my goodness.
You're right there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that, guys.
Ooh. No problem. No sweat.
It really got to me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to be there and show up, yeah, so she's clearly not happy. I would continue, but, yeah, my throat's just really got me right now.
No worries. Yeah, just take care of yourself there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, find me, please, won't you? Even the audience, yeah. Maybe feel better.
I want to mention one thing we cover a lot is what's going on with the Delta variant and COVID. And something happened recently where a a fully vaccinated woman traveled to a place in Mississippi where many, many people were not vaccinated and ended up getting COVID and has since died. This woman got her second vaccination in early March, and the whole family had gotten vaccinated. And they were quite excited that they're okay. And the mother, a woman by the name of Candace Ayers, died nearly 6 months later following a July trip with her husband to Mississippi. And she died of COVID-19. And she had some underlying conditions. She had rheumatoid arthritis. And I don't know if that had anything to do with anything. Prior to her death, 4,531,799 people also died of COVID-19.
Wow. It's like that nurse who had a few kids. She was pregnant with her baby, and she didn't have the vaccination. And unfortunately, she caught COVID. Her husband caught COVID. Her husband survived, but she didn't, and she never got to see her baby. I'm actually surprised, being a nurse, that she didn't actually get vaccinated. That is quite surprising, but that's the tragic story, really, that she never got to meet her baby.
Oh, man. You know what I don't quite understand? There are breakthrough cases. There are. This isn't 100%. It's nearly that regarding requiring hospitalization and death. It's not quite 100%. We're talking about birth control. Condoms aren't 100% either. The pill's not 100%. Sure. Nothing's 100%. So getting back to this, but to hear somebody who's, felt good and confident and their family was vaccinated, but she had a severe underlying condition and her family was hesitant to have her travel to such a state where such a large portion of the population was not vaccinated, and that's where she had, became exposed to COVID and had since died from it. But it kind of is alarming to me a little bit because, it's in this Delta variant here that we're talking about, but the breakthrough cases are still rare, but they happen. And
Yes.
So it kind of makes me a little, not nervous, but a little acutely aware, I should say, acutely aware.
Yeah, I mean, I got to admit, I was nervous when I started to get this cold because, my family prior to the wedding happened last week, people. They said, oh, we have a cold. I got a COVID testing kit from the government.
Mm-hmm.
So they had some of my tests and tested them right in front of me. They were fine. I knew it was just a cold. But, of course, even when you still catch it from somebody, you're still cautious because I was around a lot of people at the wedding. And, I could have caught it from somebody else or no guarantee it was their cold. So I made sure I got myself tested.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I started getting symptoms and feeling so run down and everything, I was like, uh-oh, okay, this is best to just put my mind to rest, get tested, make sure I'm not affecting anybody else. So, gave me peace of mind. But it is scary.
Yeah, it is. It is. We this hour flew by. We have about another minute left. Friday, we're going to talk more about stocks, investments, what's good bet as far as what we've seen as retail investors. We'll go, maybe Lee Van Dusen will join us again. We'll talk about AMC, which is currently at 46.72. I've bought more stock. It's gone down. I sold some. Here's what I did. I went up to 51, 52. I bought a bunch of it and sold a bunch of it at 49 or so because I figured, let it keep going down. Go down. I'll rebuy it at a lower price. I'll buy the same amount, but I'll buy it at a lower price. And then, boom, back in it goes. So I'm sitting here watching at 46.74, going down a little bit, going up. I've got a buy in. I've got a limit buy in at – where's my limit buy? I've got a buy in anyway. Hopefully it's going to hit 46.9 or something like that, I guess it is. But I don't know if it will. I think it's going to go back up. I don't know. But anyway, I want to buy more. AMC is a good deal. I've bought some other new stocks too, which I'll talk about on Friday's show, which are doing well for me. And we'll talk about what they are. Oh, I've got a limit buy in at 46.9. Yeah, as I said, I don't think it's going to go that low. I may have to change that and just buy it for whatever it is. I don't think it's going to go down there again. Hopefully it will. If you really want a stock to go down, look at that. I own a bunch of it. And I want it to go down. Anyway, folks, we're done. It's been great. What a great hour. It's been a fast hour at that. We'll see you Friday at Universal Time, 8 p.m. here on Block Talk Radio. Again, 515-605-9888. Email us, andy@amandashow.com. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for joining the show. Thank you for supporting us. And without further ado, Amanda's going to get us the hell out of here.
Okay, so on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, struggling people, Amanda Love here in the UK. Thank you, my loves, for joining us. We appreciate your love and support, and stick with us, eh? We love you. Have a good week. We'll see you Friday.
I know you love our theme song. I just love the theme song.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
I'll stay. We'll just stay here for a little bit, listen to it.
Okay.
Anyway, no, we got to go. All right. Take care. We'll see you Friday, folks.
Bye, guys.